Good to be back here on tonight as we are studying and kind of picking up on last week's thoughts and considering some things for this week that I truly believe will help us and cause us to think and be the people that God will have us to be even further. If you will, I want us to look at a few passages and kind of remind ourselves on how we ended on last week, talking about working together and transparency and how we can change our lives for the better. And so we want to talk about working together and bringing back the fallen brethren, walking together, working together and bringing back the fallen brethren. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse number 9, and also Genesis 13 and verse number 8. And I want to kind of capture a thought real quick before we actually go into our study. I have asked a few brothers to do some reading for me, and we will study some things together. Remember when God was questioning Cain about Abel, and in Genesis 4 and verse number 9, what did Cain say to God? Am I my brother's keeper? Wow. What a response. Because when he asked, where's your brother? He knew where his brother was. But for him to say what he said was amazing, that he would talk to God that way. Am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer? The answer is yes. Look at Genesis 13:8. Remember the little tiff that the herdsmen were having. You have Abraham and Lot, and their herdsmen were arguing, fighting over some things. And of course, Abraham being the older, being a man of reasoning, he said something that was very, very interesting. Genesis 13 and verse number 8. So Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are what? Brethren. So I want us to consider a question before we go actually into the depth of our study. And the question is how can we develop more brotherly love in working together? How can we develop more brotherly love in working together? And so I want Josh to read a few passages. Psalm 133, the first three verses, and Hebrews 13 and verse number 1. Psalm 133, the first three verses, and then Hebrews 13 and verse number 1. Hebrews 13:1.
Let brotherly love continue.
All right. So go back to Psalm 133. Appreciate that, Josh. And I want us to develop a few thoughts. And one of the things that we appreciate around here, I can't say I because I know more than myself appreciate it, is how we work together and how we want to continue that working together. And so in verse number 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. The word there means to remain together in unity. Literally in the Hebrew, for a common purpose. For a common purpose. And so there is a common purpose that we want to focus in on today, and that is seeking out fallen brethren. Seeking out fallen brethren. And notice in verse 2, we see the closeness, the fellowship, if you will, in a metaphor. He says, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. What do you see there? What's going on there? What metaphor are we focusing in on in that text? So you don't get no closer than oil on the beard, right? That relationship with the brethren should be that close. Anyone else? Say again. Okay. That's good. That's good. Yes, ma'am. All coming together. Good. Smooth. Yes. Okay. What do you mean by that? Okay, good, good. Anyone else? Yes. Amen. Amen. Excellent. Excellent. Eric.
I was going to say like a refreshing feeling.
Like a refreshing. I didn't hear the last part.
Refreshing feeling.
Like a refreshing feeling. Yes. Brian.
Well, to add context, biblical context, the actual anointing oil in Exodus 30, 22 through 24 had a fragrance, had a definite fragrance. Some translations say it's like a
That's right. Good. Evelyn?
Going back to what Cassie was talking about, oil is one separate agent. The beard is another separate agent. But then once you put them together, they became one.
That's right. That's right. Yes. You have your hand up? All right. Anyone else? Chat. Who? Leon? Leon. Sorry.
Direct contact.
Direct contact. Okay. Let's put all this together because This fellowship that we're supposed to have is a fellowship that has a lot going on with it. So we see fragrance, we see togetherness, we see a flowing, a smoothness, we see a historical background as it relates to really God approving of an individual, because that anointing is more of an approval. You know, and so we have all of these things going on. Now, consider that as it relates to the closeness that we as brethren have and how that closeness can actually become even more close. Look at verse number 3. We see another figure, same idea, but another figure. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, Jerusalem. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. All right, so you have this oneness, you have this smoothness, you have this flowing going on, and notice what he likens it unto. Verse number 3, the latter part, for there the Lord did what? Commanded the blessing. What is that a metaphor for? How about his word? How about his word? All right. And so we can't have fellowship with God without his word. Can't have fellowship with one another without his word. As a matter of fact, it's the word of God that actually determines our fellowship. Can we agree on that? What if I stray away from the word? Does that hinder our fellowship? Yes, it does. All right. So keep that in mind. Think about that fondness, that closeness, that genuineness, that working together. But then you throw in that Hebrews 13 and verse number 1, and he said, let brotherly love do what? Let it go on and on and on and on and on. In other words, it shouldn't stop. It shouldn't stop. All right. Now, I want us to consider Luke 15, because what are some ways for us to work together to contact and restore brethren that have fallen away? And I'm talking about around here, talking about at 9th and Main. Brother Josh, and then Chad has his hand up. Yes. Of
Psalm 133, running down on the edge of his garment. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of John 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, that you are loved for one another.
That's right.
So it doesn't remain, that direct contact with the Holy Spirit doesn't remain in the confines of the Spirit.
That's good. No, that's good. That's good. Chad. Yes. Yes. Good, Chad. I appreciate that. What did Jesus say about his word in John 6:63? My words are spirit, what? Their life. That's good. Real good. All right. So let's take these thoughts. Let's take these concepts, these ideas, and let's focus on seeking and saving brethren that have fallen away. Now, before we go into these passages, and I talked with Brother Royce about this, you know, during the interim, and since Ryan is out, think of some brethren that we know that are not faithful, that need to be contacted, that need to be approached. And I want you to have them in your mind, and I want you to be considering them, and hopefully before the class is up, write it on a piece of paper and hand those names to Royce and I. Please, think about some. All right? Now, look at Luke 15. Because if we're going to share in great fellowship, truth be told, we want as many to be faithful as possible, because God desires all men to be saved. God doesn't want any to be lost, especially those who have rendered gospel allegiance to Jesus Christ already. He don't want them to be lost. So in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, Kipton. Where is Kipton? He's over there. Okay. Kipton, go ahead.
Go after
Great job. Now, Kipton, do you remember what a parable is? All right. So in the Greek, it means to throw alongside of. Good job. All right. So here Jesus gives this story and he throws it alongside of a heavenly principle. Okay. Great job, Kipton. Now, what are some things that we notice in the text that will actually help us to even want to go and approach those who have fallen away, that will help us work together? What do you see in the text? What are some motivations in the text?
That the tax collectors
and sinners wanted to hear Jesus, they okay. Anyone else?
And he received the sinners like that and he ate with them.
What are some motivations for us? What is, say again? There's rejoicing where? All right. What are some other motivations in the text? All right. So when he found the one sheep, he said, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. What are some other motivations in the text? Say that one more time. Restoring something that is lost. A sheep in this particular case. Anyone else? Some other motivations. Do you think sometimes we need motivation to go out and go get those brothers and sisters that have fallen away? Just to know that when a brother or a sister who has fallen away, number one, repents and turns back to God, and heaven, if I could say it this way, erupts in great joy, should really motivate us to work together. So here's the question. Has anyone come to your mind that we can go and approach and talk to and perhaps persuade them to consider coming back to the Lord? Just think about it. Isaac, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. And I'm wanting us to approach these passages as means of motivation. What is our motivation to work together? Well, let's say a brother or a sister comes back after we have approached them and talked with them and encouraged them, persuaded them, 6 months to a year later. The work that we've done together ought to say, man, we did that. And we turn around and we give who the glory? Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14. Great job, Isaac. Now, there are three things I want us to consider. Number one, in verse number 12, he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, so what? One leaves. Does that matter?
Yes.
Why?
Nobody perish.
All right, doesn't want any to perish. Is that one important? Yes. Yes, Brother Royce. Good point. That's a great point. I didn't think about that one. Yes, Brother James.
Kind of along the lines of what Brother Roy just said. Normally, if one leaves, if it's a mom, the children are going to go with it. If it's a father, the mother might go, but definitely the children will go. So either A, lose one, you're going to lose more than one.
Eric.
I was going to say it's good to show good works in the church as well.
Okay, working together is a good work. Good. Yes, Chad. No, that's good. Anyone else? Yes, Brian.
This is different, but a lot of why Jesus taught and did what he did was because of the constant complaining. That motivation, though, shows that we're not going to sit around and allow the actual complaining in the New King James Version or the murmuring in the probably closer to the original word. Just like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted him in his house in Luke 19. They murmured and complained. But we have to recognize that. A lot of times in a congregational setting, we murmur and complain about that one or that family or whatever, and that seems to be somewhat of the context here. Well, Jesus didn't ignore that one.
And you know,
so we can't either.
Excellent point, and it kind of made me think. Yes. Excellent point. Excellent point. You know, this conversation has made me kind of regroup some things. I have another question with what we've been talking about. How can we identify a sheep going astray but has not left the fold? How can we identify a brother or a sister about to leave the fold? Can we identify it? Just something to think about. Yes, Brother Tobias. Only if you know the sheep. Pick up on patterns. Excellent point. James.
But at least with our sheep, you can tell that they either know a place to get out, or you can tell that something's off, because you'll either see one sheep that's on the outside, or you'll see several that are on the outside, and you see everyone crowded in one spot. Other times, especially if you have more males, you will see them butting up against each other. When you bring that into church aspect, when you see a lot of headbutting, brother A is constantly striving with another brother, whether it is like biblically that they're trying to teach him correctly or they're trying to push out false doctrine, you're going to see that strife. If someone believes that there's another way out, you'll see them starting to possibly start teaching
that's an excellent point. Excellent point. Evelyn.
Going back to that motivation we were talking about earlier, and throughout this, the reason why in Luke 15, I was talking about they came to hear him, is because it is motivation, at least to me, that a sinner is still desiring to hear and listen to Christ. Because once a person's desire to listen to Christ is gone, it's not going to matter what you say. It's not going to matter what you do. They are having no desire to listen to God. So it is because we dismiss people who are in sin as if they don't want to hear God. They don't want to listen to what God has to say. Look at their lives, and we don't go. We don't go after them. We don't engage them because we dismiss them and think that they don't want God's word. But it is motivation to me to know that a person is, even in their sin, or even as a sinner, is still willing to listen to what Christ has to say, because because in that willingness, there is a great opportunity for change.
So our working together should be motivation to help brethren who have fallen away. And our working together should be motivation when sinners are wanting and still have the desire to listen.
Well, a member who is going astray, who's living in sin, is in the same boat. And I think we can work together by being on the same page with our attitude and our thoughts toward the one who has gone astray.
Okay, and that's the purpose of us talking even tonight, because we're talking about going after brethren that have already gone astray.
Right.
And so we're working together in order to help them come back. All right, and so that's something to be considered. Look at verse number.
We have a wonderful song in our songbook called God's Family. Part of family has been born again.
Yes, sir.
And we are born again Christians.
That's right. I appreciate that. In verse number 12, thank you.
I missed a Sunday, and it's amazing to me how long a stretch
That's
it
right.
was before I came back to my friends. You know,
excellent family. Point. Excellent point. In verse number 12 of Matthew 18, notice something there. He says, does he not leave the 99 and go where? Go where, brethren? To the mountains. Don't run past that. So here we're talking about work. We're talking about going up terrain. Also, you never know what you're going to come in contact with when you're going up mountains, right? And so whatever needs to be done, that's what we need to do in order to make it to the sheep in hopes that we can bring them back. But I did want to capitalize on verse 13. He says, and if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that what? I've always looked at that like, well, the 99 are secure. They're fine. They're good. But thinking about that, coming a little older now, it's a blessing when the 99 have not gone astray. They need to be encouraged. You stay in the fold. One brother said one time, you always need to keep the spiritual base encouraged. Why? Because when the spiritual base is encouraged, they go out. We go out and seek and save the lost. We go out and we help lost souls come back home to God. And so the 99 who have not gone astray, who don't need repentance, what a blessing it is for those of us who are faithful to remain faithful. And we should not overlook that. And just because someone is coming and just because someone is faithful doesn't mean that they shouldn't receive the encouragement, the necessary admonishment that is needed in order to stay faithful. And sometimes, you know, we can take advantage or take for granted, rather, that someone is faithful. Well, they're going to always be there. That's not always the case, Brother Tobias.
To my knowledge, there was never a time where the shepherd left the 99 and went somewhere else. It was always that what you called him. The guy he would leave behind to take the sheep while he was away.
There's a name for it. What, a
hireling?
Yeah.
That's
right. That's a good point. Good point. Anyone else? Brother Royce.
Because we don't do it in our heart.
good point. Yes.
Years ago, when everybody had a lot of sheep, they always had one that was the lead sheep. They had a bell on him, they kept him. And if he was going to load a new truck or whatever, they used him to lead the others which way to go. And even if you worked under the pen, you would get one to go one way and the rest of them to follow.
That's right.
That's just one kind of sheep.
Yes, sir. That's a great point. Lead sheep. Anyone else? Yes, Chad. That's right.
Very, very valuable.
That's right.
And it's just when you already have that know that these sheep are protected, you know, these sheep are going to make it in the barn, you're still happy that they made it in the barn. But then when you notice that the one is missing, you're going to rejoice more. Then you already rejoice.
That's right. Excellent point. So I have a question. Any suggestions on how to reach out, seek out, and communicate with our wayward members? Any suggestions on how to reach out, seek out, and communicate with our wayward members? Any suggestions?
Visit with them,
Sister Ditmore says. Yes.
They can be very frustrated at times. When you first get them, they just weed off their mothers. They, you know, they don't know what's going on. They don't know what you want to do. And if they're in a big enough pen, they're incredibly hard to catch because they're a lot faster and they can climb. It's very, very, very difficult. When you finally get the corner, you maybe you outsmart them or whatever and you catch up. You don't use a halter when you show sheep. You literally hold them in by their necks. And, you know, so they jump.
Yeah. Excellent comments. That's right. So, any suggestions? You have to know people. Yes. Did y'all hear that wisdom just ooze out? You gotta know people. It takes time to know people. It takes commitment and sacrifice. And yes. Amen.
And that makes a difference for all of us to know that somebody
is. That's right. Thank you. Yes. Anyway, yes.
Thank you.
It's true. Thank you. I love y'all. Y'all some good people, I tell you. You have your hand up? Go ahead. Not just here to miss you. Yes. James. Excellent point.
Now, the suggestion of how we can work together is the ones that are faithful, we should also know each other. And we should know each other enough to be able to say, hey, so-and-so's not here, and I know that you, you know, have a better relationship with her, or that you or him, or you know you can talk to them, or hey, I've reached out to them, have you? We could work together by at least you informing us if you did reach out, if you did say something, and then now we can be working together instead of ganging up on a person who has fallen away. We're actually being intentional together in our efforts to reach out to that individual or individuals.
Anyone else? Yes. That's true. Is it possible to create an environment that is spiritually tough but not harsh?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Who had their hand up? Yes. And then yes. Devin. Josh.
Brother Tobias and I were talking this morning about a specific evangelism effort, which isn't what we're talking about, but I'll get to my point. I made the joke people that they didn't know cared about them. Like, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We know, or brother so-and-so cares about me, but I never talked to them. Yeah. But if I'm gone, and he texts me, if he calls me, if he visits me, he's like, hey, where were you? What's going on?
That's right.
That's like, wow. I know the my quote-unquote friend in the congregation that I sit next to maybe notices I'm gone, but I might not be expecting it from someone else.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Yes. Yes, thank you.
Something she hit on earlier, today in the world, we have a lot of generational divide. A lot of young people don't like older, and a lot of older don't like younger, and you have to change their name, and so nice here, so it doesn't matter what age of the person I'm talking to in the room, we have a very good, very helpful conversation, very loving conversation, and it feels more like
that's good. That's good. Yes.
One thing that comes to mind about saving souls when, at least for me, is when Jesus was talking to the lady at the well. I believe she was a Samaritan, if I'm not mistaken. And Jews and Samaritans do not get along. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is if Jesus cared enough about someone's soul to talk to them, even though society said that they shouldn't, what's our excuse to not go out and evangelize other people, whether it be out of our comfort zone or not?
And in the case that we're talking about going after our brethren that have fallen away. And so there is a time for evangelism, but there is a time for restoration. You know, in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything. And so life is not only the church. The spiritual life is not only about evangelism. And sometimes the brethren get away from you, and you got to go out there and you got to bring them back. And I think everything we've talked about is kind of hard to enumerate everything that we've talked about, but there are a lot of good things that have been said. Before time get away, let's look at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, and we're just going to read it, and we're actually going to pick up next week. Next week is the second Sunday? Yeah. My mind everywhere. 1 through 6, Leon. 7 through 10, Jaden. 11 through 16, Nikolai. Go ahead. Now, real quick, the last thing we want as a congregation, as a church, is for brethren to become food for the wolves. Period. Nobody wants that. And God has tasked shepherds to make sure that that doesn't take place. So whichever way that y'all can help, it would be great. And if we can restore some, that would be wonderful. All right. Jaden, 7 through 10.
Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them.
Great job. So if anything, what we want to do is make sure that we search out those individuals that have fallen away. And so that's why we need names. We need to know who they are, because I'm pretty sure there'll be some that we probably overlook. We don't want to overlook any. We want to be able to say on that day of judgment, Father, we did our part. That's all we want. Every last one of us. Nikolai, 11 through 16. So bringing back, binding up the broken, strengthening the sick. There's so much in here. We're going to begin on next week right here and continue these thoughts. Are there any final thoughts? Yes, Brother Brian. Boy, you got me ready to weep up here with that. That's why we're all in this together. And when one goes astray, it should hurt us. It should not be, well, they wouldn't really convert it. No. No. I remember telling an elder in the church in Abilene, we went to go visit someone, and he said, well, we did our job. I said, well, what if that was your son? Would you have said that? And I'll be honest with you, our relationship changed from that day forward. 'Cause because he know he wouldn't have done that. So you just don't give up on people. And that's why we have a responsibility to make sure that we reach as much as we can and then let them make the decision whether or not they want to come and do what God wants them to do or not. So if there's some names, please give it to Brother Royce, myself, and because we want to contact them. We really want to contact them and see what they say. And then, and I put this in my notes, and then report back to you what we found. So we're not just talking. Report back to you. This is what we found. And hopefully we'll have some good reports. Brother Ditmore, we'll end with you.
What I have found in yesteryears, it wasn't that bad. Today it's divorce.
Divorce.
You come into divorce any time you turn around. Or they're not even divorced at all.
That's an excellent point.